All right, Gene, now that my special is out, I'm hitting the road again.
Oh.
Working out new stuff. If you'd like to see me do it, I have a few dates coming up. February 2nd and 3rd, Pasadena. I'm at the Ice House Comedy Club. February 8, 9, and 10, Des Moines, Iowa, at the Des Moines Funny Bone. March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, Comedy Off Broadway in Lexington, Kentucky. April 12th, 13th, and 14th, Shart Lake Titties, the Wise Guys Comedy Club. And April 27, 28, 29, and May 1st, I'm in Momstralia, the country and the continent of Momstralia, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, and Perth. That's it, Gene. That's where I'm going to be. TomSegura.com/tour for all those shows. What about you, Farts?
Guys, I want to thank everybody that came January 12th to the Pasadena and to the Pasadena, the Ice House. I sold out two shows. Gene was on the first one, the 8 o'clock show.
Oh yeah, that was fun, man. That was so fun.
That was banana. So thank you everybody that came out and made my night very, very special.
You killed it, yo. You killed it.
Killed it, son. That was super fun. So let's kill out these dates. February 2nd, 3rd, Shart Lake Shitties, Utah, Wise Guys Comedy Club. February 23rd, Colusa Casino, Colusa, California. March 30th and 31st, Portland, Oregon, at the Herium Comedy Club. Get your tickets on Christina P. Online. And that's it for now.
I like it. I like it.
I'm working on some other stuff, but you know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying. Thank you, everybody. I mentioned it in a moment here for watching. Also, there's some new, there's some new merch on our store. If you, what is that?
What's a video of promoting something?
There's the new YMH zip up hoodie, which, people have been very responsive to. So thank you very much for ordering it. There's also the, there's a shirt from, there's a couple shirts from the special. So there's the Wish I Was Home shirt. There's the, Eating in the Car shirt. So, it's all there on the store. If you go to my site, TomSegura.com, click on the store, or you can just go directly to merchmethod.com/TomSegura. And you can order those there. There's also a number of other items coming, but that's what's available now. Thank you very much for your support in that regard. Gene, anything else?
That's it, mommies.
All right, this is a great episode. The great Paul Gilmartin was here. Really fun.
Oh, my God. Did we have fun with this guy? Just
awesome.
So you know who he is, Mental Illness Happy Hour is the name of his podcast, and I highly recommend it. It is a podcast that is in my rotation all the time. It's just fascinating, and he's doing a great service by doing that show.
For sure.
And he's super fun with us. He fit in perfectly.
All right, there it is. Enjoy the show. All right, here we are.
Here we fart.
Here we go. Here's the thing. You left that the other way.
I hate you so much right now. Any more requests?
Any more? Just do it like we always do it. It wasn't so much to ask.
Anything else? Can you get you a sandwich or something?
No, you could just do the minimum.
Oh my God. I did everything else. I put in all of the things. I did the lighting.
Okay.
Don't act like I don't do it all.
You don't. You don't do it all.
I do lots.
You don't do it all.
Hello?
You have anything you want to point out to our listeners?
No.
Why?
What? What's the big deal?
Well, you said you...
What's happening? There's nothing going on.
You said you got some messages.
I said that I read the comments on our YouTube channel, and some people are saying that I look pregnant, and, you know, that's very rude, especially because those motherfuckers are right! Baby G's!
Number two.
Number two. Thug is incubating right now. As you call him, it's a boy.
Yeah.
It's a boy.
It's a boy. Number two.
So yeah, we're in second trimester and I've had to hide it this whole time.
And now you can just let it out, let your tits
hang. Oh my God. And they're so big. My really milkers big. Are so big and everything's so big right now.
You're trying to cover them up, but it's pointless.
I got lucky though, because our... the holidays is when I had my first trimester. I got pregnant in October. So I got to be kind of sick and on the down low outside of all the cameras, which was nice. But then I couldn't hide it. The last 2 weeks, I've been wearing sweatshirts.
You have seen the comments. I've seen them too. What's up? You look pregnant.
I know. And with your second child, apparently you show way quicker. And I was showing like at 5 weeks. I felt fat as shit already. So...
Well,
so it's exciting.
It's very exciting.
Thug number two.
Thug number two. Two thugs in the house now.
What are we going to name this one? What are you thinking?
Well, we fucked up on the last one because we were going to go with
Tom's Ruth's Chris.
And then Carl's Jr.
Well, because I ate so much of it with Ellis, we should have named him Carl's Jr. Now, this one,
I was also a fan of De La Tom.
De La Tom.
I think that's a really good name for the son of
a
Tom.
Good one. But this baby, I've really been craving pizza, so I was thinking Domino's.
Domino's.
Or Domino.
What about Thin Crust?
Oh, because that's what my jam right now is Thin Crust.
Oh, right. Domino.
Domino. Thin Crust, extra cheese, and the pepperoncinis on there.
But Domino sounds kind of like a cool name. Like, what's up, Domino?
What's up, Domino?
Yeah.
Or Blanket. I like Blanket.
I like Blanket.
Blanket.
Like Mike?
Yeah, but nobody's named Domino. That'd be really original.
It's a great name. It's a great name.
But yeah, Carl's Jr., we're going to go and have his name legally changed to Carl's Jr., and then this one we're going to do Domino.
Domino. I like it. Well, there's a lot to cover. We'll talk about all this stuff and the naming of our second thug and more. But let's get the show started, and let's keep it fun. You know, I mean, people's main concern, obviously, when we had a kid last time, they're like, oh, is having a kid going to make you squares or make you no more fun? And
well, Joey Diaz was very worried that I might become a woman.
Yeah, don't become a woman.
Don't become a woman, he said.
Good point. I hope you never become a woman.
Good thing that never happened.
As my wife, I hope you stay and not a woman.
Yeah. I might cut my hair off with this one, though.
Here we go, Jane.
Yeah.
Let's get it started. Let's get the party started.
Get that mom cut.
Yasmina Jade here. And I just want to share with all of you why I felt the need to share me placing menstrual blood all over my face and what power it holds for us as women to fully own this part of self that we've been shaming for so many lifetimes.
This shit is big time!
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone loving to this.
Your mom in the fucking stand!
Welcome to your mom's house with Tom Segura, and
Christina Pajitson.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Blood on the face.
Menstrual blood to own.
It's pretty raw, pretty nasty.
Yeah.
People, by the way, thank you. A lot of people have messaged me that they watched my new special, Disgraceful, on Netflix over the weekend. I really received between comments and emails, I think thousands of messages. So I thank you all for them. Much love, no hate. F all the haters. But it's been...
Much love, no hate.
Overwhelming.
Yeah.
People telling me that I'm nasty as hell. I'm the nasty champ.
What?
Yeah.
No, there's no way you're the nasty champ.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. Everybody know I'm nasty as fuck.
No. Everybody was telling me they're like,
no.
It's funny, you're nasty as hell. You so gross, you nasty.
No.
Yes.
Listen, I've been nasty supreme of this household.
No way.
Yaha,
you've even attacked me for being so nasty. You're like,
what are you talking about?
You tell me how nasty I am with my farts and like how I'm just, I talk and think disturbed, depraved things.
Yes,
and
all the time.
Yeah.
But that's in our home life. But on stage, I would say that I'm the nastier one.
Mm-mm.
Hell yeah, I'm way nastier than you.
You're a woman, you know.
But that's why it makes more of an impact. I'm even nastier.
My register is an impact, but I'm definitely, I wear the crown.
You're the nasty champ?
Mm-hmm.
That's some bullshit right there.
It's true.
No, I'm the nasty champ. Everybody
what did knows. I ask you in bed last night?
Oh, you were like, have you ever heard of the scrum gobbler? The chum smuggler?
No. What I asked you was, do you know what a ball hog is?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a sports term.
Uh-huh.
In sports, if you play basketball or soccer and somebody won't pass the ball,
yeah,
they're a ball hog. Uh-huh. Like they're hogging the ball.
Right.
They're not sharing. They're not passing it around. They're keeping it all to themselves. So they're called a ball hog.
Uh-huh.
And I found that term being exploited by a different industry.
Hi, I'm Sierra Sin, and I'm a ball hog. I love balls.
So stupid. How come that wasn't the opening clip? How'd you pass that one up for Menstrual Blood Lady?
I wanted to save it for you.
She nasty.
What I love,
she's a nasty champ, not us.
She's so nasty. I love that they took... I love when they take an innocent sports term. Like,
yeah.
That's what like
ball
kids
hog.
Say. Like, you're a ball hog. Share the ball. They turned it into a vile, perverted slang.
Right. This is so... it's just such another silly porno thing.
Yeah,
like, there's no woman on the planet. Really, maybe there's like two fucking freak shows out there. They're like, I love balls. I got to have them in my mouth. I'm a ball hog. This is such a fucking dumb fantasy. It's such a not.
That's why it's hilarious.
Thing. God.
Because no one really does that.
Nobody.
You know?
Nobody's.
I love sucking on balls.
And they have a whole series.
It's
a whole series.
Let's hear it.
Hi, I'm Peyton Lafferty, and I'm a ball hog.
Peyton Lafferty.
Yeah,
that sounds like a Peyton Manning.
So they have to like
Peyton Lafferty.
They have to say their name. They have to say that they're a ball hog, and then they have to just suck balls for like these whole things.
Easy money, dude.
It is easy money.
There's no cum.
And there's a lot of funny ball talk, you know? Like,
oh, fuck. Get your nose up in those balls.
Yeah. A lot of vocal fry,
balls,
too.
Balls are funny, though.
They're funny. The problem with balls, there's a smell sometimes if they're not clean enough. But other than that, balls
I
are
think
pretty low maintenance.
That's a fetish, too.
Yeah, sniff those balls. Sniff them. Okay, now let me put it right up against your eye. Bat your eyelashes.
Oh, God. Bat your eyelids.
Oh my God.
Rub those balls all over those tits. Just like that. Yeah, just like that.
There's like five people on the planet that really have this.
You think so?
That are like, put your eyelashes against my balls.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
Are you into that?
No, not really. I mean, I should.
Try it out.
You know?
Try
be fun.
We gotta put this one aside for Dr. Drew, the ball worship.
Try it out.
Make a Drew list.
True.
Piss on me, beat me. Try it out.
Oh, the trauma. So much trauma.
Oh,
so
much
sad. Trauma.
I watch your show and I just get sad. That's what Drew basically told us. This is the saddest show he's ever had a part of.
Try it out.
Try it out. Piss on me, beat me. Black guys.
You think you could ever be this girl?
Rub your balls all over that cum.
Oh.
On the cum?
Yeah.
He's got to rub his balls on the cum now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. Here's the thing, man. Anything that doesn't involve cum on my face or getting an STD, like nothing can happen from putting
balls in your mouth. How much would you do? What would you need
Big deal.
To do that scene?
Oh, man. I mean, what's the going rate for something like, I mean, not
a ball
as,
scene?
Not as me now.
Yeah, you now.
Oh, as like a stand-up comedian, mother of almost two children.
Yeah.
Oh, I have millions.
Millions. But
it's,
like,
it's going to ruin my life.
What
know?
About like,
it's not possible.
You know,
now.
20 years ago and you're short on rent.
And I don't care if my life is in the toilet for the rest of it. Yeah. Like,
there's just a ball scene out about you.
Let's just say, yeah, like 20 years ago, I'm just, who cares? I'm going to ruin my life.
Yeah.
Let's just say I'm one of those girls. Like, it's never going to happen for me.
Yeah.
I'd do a ball scene for like $1,500.
Hmm.
That's not bad.
I think you're asking for a little much. I think they would probably be like, "Get out of here." You're not doing it.
There's I'm ruining my life for $1,500.
They don't care about that part. They're like, "This is a ball scene. It's just balls."
But here's what I would do. Being the entrepreneur that I am,
yeah.
I would open up my own website and I would be the ball girl.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? I would make it, and I'd do the eyelash on the balls, and I'd put my feet on the balls. Like, I'd be the ball queen is how I would do it.
Right, right.
You know, I'd make a business out of it.
That's pretty good.
And I'd charge guys to come over, and then I'd smash their balls or whatever.
Oh, now they're making house calls?
That's extra money, though. See, because I've already ruined my life. I'm the ball lady for the rest of it. So I really got to try it out.
You got to try it out.
Try it out.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Well, now that I want to be the entrepreneur, I think, like, go back 20 years, and I go... if I could go back in time and be like, I don't want the life that I have now.
Yeah.
I want to go down the seedy path. Then I would start my own site called like garglemyballs.com.
Right. And like, now you're thinking.
And then I would be like into camera like, "Hey, it's me." You know? Which one of you dumb hookers out there wants to suck on my balls?
Nobody.
And then some girl would walk in and be like...
Hi, I'm Peyton Lafferty and I'm a ball hog.
And then I would... Like, sniff my balls. Get your nose in there.
Oh, fuck. Get your nose up in those balls.
Yeah.
God damn.
That's a different life path.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If you really want to throw it in the toilet. But you got to think in terms of branding and long term.
I think it's a good brand to get into.
I think so. It's a niche market.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people who would be like, "It's a pretty interesting lane you're in." Maybe there's some rewards. I don't know.
It's not that bad. But the farting, that's not bad either. The fart videos, easy money.
Yeah.
Really, of all the genres... the fart video is the easiest.
You think so?
Yeah.
I just got to eat food.
Yeah, fucking dude, I fart all day, every day.
That's right. You
do. Imagine being pregnant. I do the pregnant fart lady stuff.
Yeah.
Even better money.
Yeah.
That's when I really jack up the prices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of fun. No. Seems like we have a fun new lane to explore with the balls.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Try it out.
Try it out.
Yeah.
Try it out.
Gotta have fun. You gotta try stuff out.
You gotta try fun stuff out.
So, back to period blood on your face.
Yeah.
what about this video? Would you ever make that video? Which video would you make?
Yes.
Which one is more harmful to you, you think?
Oh, fuck. I mean...
It's you, you're 20. Is it menstrual blood on the... Because I think that one would tell people... See, it's different signals you're sending.
Yeah, exactly.
One of them is like... Yeah. I mean, we haven't even seen this yet, but she says I smear period blood on my face. I think that would tell people you're mentally ill.
Yeah.
And then the ball one might just be like, "Oh, she needed money. She's desperate. She's sad." Right.
Well, it's the would you rather. It's the where do you place the shame. It's the original would you rather. Would you rather masturbate in front of your family?
Or have them masturbate on you?
Right. So it's, am I going to assume responsibility and be mentally ill? Or...
I can't believe I'm thinking this, but I think I'd rather there's a ball video of you exist than period blood, because period blood on your face, I'd be like, yeah, you can't really explain that one.
You can't explain it, and there's no going back.
Let's hear her explain it.
Through reclaiming the blood and through reclaiming our menstrual cycle, it fully allowed me to embody like everything that I was. It fully allowed me to have the freedom to be able to express who I was in every way.
And this, you know, this thing about, hey.
Paul Gilmartin's here.
This is not how this is supposed to go. All right, let's stop.
Hi.
All right. So we resettled. And you want to introduce our guest?
Us is the fantastic Paul Gilmartin from the Mental Illness Happy Hour. Clap for Paul. I mean,
that's not how we do this.
How do you do it?
Just awkward silence. That's usually
who it is. And then you guys have done each other's podcast.
Well, yeah, he's been a guest on That's Deep Bro. I've been a guest on his show. And I thought, why not have him on your mom's house?
Of course.
This is a perfect fit.
I invited myself.
No.
That's not true.
Yes. Oh, I said, Paul, if you ever need a guest, I'd love to do your podcast. So
no, I'm happy you're here.
I learned my lesson spending last year alone on Christmas Eve, Christmas, and my birthday. Yeah. You know what?
To be stubborn.
Speak up.
Yeah.
When you have needs, speak up.
I've been stubborn about that shit more times than I'd like to admit in my life. About like, nope, I'll just stay here and I'll just show everybody by staying here not saying what I want.
Right.
Yeah.
Then I can't be rejected.
Yeah.
And I get to know my video game.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I'll find a new porn clip.
Hey, speaking of which,
I'll get a nap in.
Segue.
We were just playing this porn clip called Ball Hogs.
Familiar with it.
Well, there's a line of... I mean, you're familiar with the term ball hog in terms of in sports.
Yes.
Somebody who won't pass the ball.
Right.
So there's a series, an adult series called Ball Hogs. And it sounds like this.
Hi, I'm Sierra Sin, and I'm a ball hog.
Well, they just really like balls.
Here's something you'll never hear about pornography, somebody watching it. I wish the sound was more graphic.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
More detail.
More smacking and drooling.
It's a lot.
That's how it is in...
Get your nose up in those balls.
So we were talking about the ball clip, and then we switched to this woman who is... she was explaining how she's trying to... What is it, like, recapture her femininity?
Well, there's this whole thing about shame when it comes to women's menstrual cycles. And so some women like to reclaim their menstrual cycle, and that's what she's doing.
Yeah.
Through reclaiming the blood
and privately.
Through reclaiming our menstrual cycle, it fully allowed me to embody like everything that I was. It fully allowed me to have the freedom to be able to express who I was in every way.
I got to say, one of the things I'm happy about, what she did and what she's talking about is fucking gross.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice that she's attractive.
It helps.
If it was like somebody gross doing it, I'd be like, this is really
gross.
You know
what? That's a really shallow thing to say, but it's actually really true.
Yeah.
That if she weren't hot, we would all be more like, ugh.
We would not watch all the clips.
No.
We would stop and be like, she's really gross.
Yeah.
I've only seen 5 seconds of this clip, but the first thing that comes to my mind is she's desperate for auditions.
Yeah. You think she's one to go in? You think she wants to be a ball hog or like a real actress?
First of all, the boobs don't look natural.
No.
She's extremely made up for it.
Yep.
So it's like, if you're going to do the whole menstrual blood thing, why not wear makeup, you know? Why not be completely stripped down, completely as you... I'm not saying be naked, but be as you are completely...
Right, like your vagina
naturally.
Yeah.
Full effect.
That is a very interesting point.
Yeah.
That she's doing like this, I'm connected to who I am.
Mother Earth.
But she couldn't be more done up.
Yeah, looks like fake boobs. I could be wrong.
Well, guys, I mean, hey, wait a minute. Isn't that why she needs to reclaim her natural essence? Maybe she is so disconnected because of the fake boobery and all this
stuff.
You
know, this is like a whole other level I didn't think we were going to get to.
Judging her process. Yeah. Come on.
By putting this up on social media, I really found it just... It kind of gave an invitation to people to be able to know that it's okay to share this part of yourself.
No,
and
it's not.
That it's not,
but it's not
taboo.
It's not the message at all.
But there are some things you shouldn't share with social media.
One of them would be rubbing menstrual blood on your face.
You know, I'm a little ashamed of the noises I make when I shit, but I don't know if I want to try to ease the public into accepting that part of my being.
Well, maybe what she's talking about here is you taking that leap and knowing that, you know what, you should be okay. And how about you posting one of those videos of you taking a grunty shit and kind of knowing that it's okay, Paul, you're a person.
I love the word grunty.
Yeah. Why this insistence that everybody be comfortable with everything publicly now?
How about
some shame?
A
little bit of shame in your game. Yeah. Just a little.
Yeah.
Is fine.
I think a lot of us feel invisible in our lives, like something's missing, like there's something special about us that isn't being recognized, and we just need to find what that is, and then the emptiness will be filled.
Yeah.
So her specialness is her period, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And probably because nobody else has done that, so it's like, like the episode I was listening to where you guys were talking about Possum Guy and Purple Lady.
Oh, yeah, Purple Lady. And Michael's Arts and Crafts. Like, the people that find their identity through, like, liking a weird thing.
Yeah.
There's a lady at the coffee shop I go to who is Hat Lady. And her hats, like if it was the set of a James Cameron movie, her hat, you would go, they put a little too much effort into it. It's the most ornate... crazy. It's a nativity scene on a person's head, and each one's different. And God bless her, you know, if that makes her happy to do that. But I think it has the opposite effect when people look at it. They go, oh, she's so lonely.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, I guess
right
she
before
wants-
you got here, we were having the discussion if she had to choose between being one of the ball hog girls
right.
or the menstrual blood lady, who would you rather be? And I think it's like, it's do you want to own being like
crazy,
kind of crazy? Mm-hmm. Or if you're the ball hog, you can be like, well, they kind of did it to me. You know what I mean? Like it's
I've been, and it was a money thing. Maybe I did this for a living when I was
because
20.
I actually think that like the ball hog one, you'd be like, you kind of have some empathy. Like she's probably in a bad place and she needed some money. Yeah. Like, but I think it's almost better to be a ball hog than crazy hat lady, you know?
Because at least someone's jerking off to you. Nobody's jerking off to hat lady.
No, not at all.
One guy in Germany.
Yeah, yeah. One guy.
Yeah, always.
Off to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's been really hard to face off with all of the negative comments yeah. on me
you,
doing this.
You know they were coming.
I'm not asking anyone else to do this. I'm just saying this has been my experience, and it's been uh-huh. really empowering, and it's felt really good to connect with that part of self.
I got
to
tell you, you and your sisterhood have yeah. really, really challenged the definition of empowering.
Well, I've always thought that first of all, pornography is empowering. Being a stripper is empowering. Rubbing menstrual blood on our faces is empowering. You know what, though? What it boils down to is same strokes for everybody.
Yep. There you go. Everybody likes the same thing. That's what it's all
different,
about.
Different strokes. For her, it's empowering. For me, I'm indifferent. I don't have any negativity towards menstrual blood. I don't have any preference.
Do you think 20 years from now she's going to look at this clip and roll her eyes or be like, yeah, that, I'm glad I did that?
I mean, any healthy person rolls their eyes at what they did 20 years ago.
I hope so.
Right. Anybody who's making progress.
Yeah. 20 years is, yeah.
That's a lifetime.
That's a long time.
Well, let's see it. Are we going to see her face? Yeah.
There you go.
You know, Paul, now that you said the actress thing, I feel like this was kind of an actory.
I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt.
Do you think there's
she's
any...
a frustrated actress?
Yeah.
I think you're right. You think there's any part that's like, fucking James Cameron will see this.
Yes.
Like, oh, yeah.
That's like, you get like lost in the delusion of
oh,
it.
Oh, I experienced that. I went on an audition one time. It was for a Steven Soderbergh movie.
And you
it was,
jerked
oh
off all
God.
Over your own face.
Yeah. I had the decency to do it in the parking uh-huh. garage. Go to the roof parking where nobody is. And I went on, and I never get auditions. And it's like, all of a sudden, it's a Steven Soderbergh movie I'm auditioning for. So I'm
yeah,
super
huge.
Excited. And I do this Republican character sometimes for comedy. And I thought, oh, this guy's perfect for this audition. This part is perfect for this guy. And I'm like, there's nobody more perfect for this part. I'm going to get this.
Yeah.
And it's Steven Soderbergh. It's probably going to be an award-winning movie. That part's going to be, but I'm probably going to get an award for this. And then I'm yes. tripping, imagining my, not only me giving an award speech, but me arguing with people the next day who I forgot to include in my speech while I'm waiting to go in on the fucking audition. And I go in and I'm horrible. Horrible.
So
I don't even get a call back.
I feel so good hearing
God,
you say that.
Paul,
yeah. To
it.
Know that I'm not alone. Because yeah. I've had those same fantasies and like have thought about like would I wear a tux or would I wear like a suit to the Emmys?
Yeah, totally.
You know, and like and take myself through the whole thing.
Absolutely.
And then you get the call like actually they didn't even say anything about your audition. They didn't even acknowledge that you auditioned.
Yeah.
We tried to find out and they don't remember who you are. And I'm like, oh.
And just so you know, that moment you had, for those of you who've never heard of Paul Gilmartin or the Mental Illness Happy Hour, that's basically like what your show is having these moments of being painfully honest. And
yes.
And I should have mentioned, sorry, earlier, you're also a stand-up comedian. You've been on television a million things. Was it Dinner and a Movie?
That was the thing that probably most people know me from.
Yes.
You know, Comedy Central, Half Hour, and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I don't do stand-up anymore.
Right?
Yes, when I'm not doing anything, I'm at the Christian Science Reading Room.
Okay.
and oddly enough, I read through a monocle.
Is that right?
I don't know why.
Wow.
I think I want to class it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. old school. I like
that. So, wait, you don't do stand-up anymore?
I don't. I just do this satirical Republican character sometimes. But as far as going to clubs and doing that, no. About 5 years ago, I just kind of hit a wall and went. I have an agreement with the entertainment industry. They won't show an interest in me, and I won't show an interest in them. Yeah. And we've both kept our end of the bargain. Yeah.
Do you get to perform the character, the Republican character, live yeah. stages?
Yeah. And,
okay.
Yeah, I go on Corolla's podcast.
Oh, great.
I do it on Jimmy Dore's. Jimmy Dore does live shows, so I do it there. There's some YouTube clips. I put a fake campaign ad out about, I don't know, 10 years ago as this guy. But it's really fun to do because it's kind of like my picket sign of when I get pissed off about shit.
Oh, yeah.
People that are hypocrites. So I just pour it all into this kind of clueless character.
That's fun.
Who's a hypocrite. Yeah.
This must be, you must be really like searching for material these days. It's not really a lot to talk about.
Oh my God. It's,
it can be overwhelming, I guess, right?
It's funny because when I started doing the character, it was almost cartoony.
Yeah.
And now reality has caught up to it.
Yeah.
And so it's really just rearranging the reality into a punchline.
Right. Because I guess you could see the character now and be like, yeah, I believe that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's he representative? Actually, a lot of times when I do it, people don't know it's not a real character.
Do you get people who get angry at you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because his views are like, you know, one of the things he says is Mexicans make two things, tortillas and trouble.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's
you know, my favorite thing about like those guys in real life is, and like that's why that line works so well, is like, fifth grade level vocabulary, which they did this thing during like the campaigns, like leading up to the election, and they actually found that like they studied all these interviews and speeches that Trump did, and found that he stayed in like a third to fifth grade level vocabulary
easily,
and that actually that had a huge impact.
He's one of us.
He would say things like things are bad. Things are sad, awful. This is just terrible. And it never would leave that range of kind of simplistic language. Yeah. I thought it was really fascinating language study.
Even though he said, I have the best words.
I have the best words. And I'm like really smart.
Like really like, smart.
Really yeah. smart.
I'm like genius, right?
Pretty much. You were asking me last week how people in Star Wars communicate with like the monsters, you know, like the Wookiees. And
yeah. So if you watch the Star Wars films, you'll notice that Chewbacca and R2-D2, it's always, and then the actor's like, what's that, R2? You want dinner?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you want a hot dog?
Apparently this guy has like a, like can teach you.
Hello everybody. And welcome to Voices with Matthew.
Oh,
by popular request, many people have asked me to do my Chewbacca or my Wookiee impersonation.
And by that, I mean my mother.
I went back here to find the Wookiee language and found out it's actually three languages.
No, it's not.
It's not just a bunch of sounds.
There you go.
Whatever.
It's not.
Like I said, I went back to Wikipedia, found the language, or one of the languages I'm going to use, which is called... It's called the common language of the Wookiee people. It's actually for trade and travel. It's the one that most non-Wookiees would have used in the stories.
This is one of the most disturbing levels of fandom, is when they start going like, this is real. You know, this is how these people in this world, you're like, that's a made-up world, bro. Like, not like, he's like, well, some of the natives prefer to address it this way. You're like, it's all made up, man. What are you talking about?
It's the Wookiepedia, Tom.
Yeah, Wookiepedia.
Unbelievable.
So, without further ado,
here we go.
Hello, how are you? Goodbye. I am well, thank you.
He's not just making sense.
I am a friend.
I don't know.
I love that somebody gets so into something. It's just so hard to take it seriously when it's so niche. Because I think all of us, maybe I should just include myself, find something I like and get, we were kind of talking about this before we start recording, get ridiculously into it. Like when I discovered...
Did you get obsessed?
When I discovered good wine for the first time, I mean, I'd been a drinker all along. I'm sober now, but I'd been a drinker all along, but I'd always thought, wine, you know, that's for pussies. You know, what's the big deal? And I was buying a friend of mine a bottle of wine because he loved wine. And I said to the clerk, you know, What if I give you $50 for like a bottle of wine that you think is awesome? I'd like to try that. And so I took it home, and it blew my fucking mind.
Really?
And within 3 months, I had 24 cases of vintage wine in a rented, totally. Humidity-controlled storage locker.
Whoa.
And was searching for wine every day on the internet.
You got obsessed.
Dude.
I thought you were about to say I was 25 grand in debt.
That too.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but can I move this? Because I can tell that it's blocking my face. This,
yeah, what do you want to move?
Oh. How's that?
The arm.
Oh.
Yeah, but now can you be, is he cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just for editing, because I can see my... Oh, yeah. Perfect. Okay.
And it's that way with everything that I get into. I run the wheels off it. When I got into photography, taking pictures of dogs...
I think you mean photography, but go ahead.
Photography.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's pictures of dogs, it's photography. Yes. Yeah.
Within the first year of having that camera, I took so many pictures, the counter rolled over.
Oh, my God.
Which means over 10,000 pictures.
Oh, my God.
So you have a real obsessive...
Totally. Totally obsessive. Yeah. I've never done anything
what
in moderation.
That?
Yeah.
Is that alcoholism?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It presents itself in many forms.
I've heard Dr. Drew go, adrenaline junkies. Oh, you mean alcoholics. Like, it's a similar...
Yeah. It doesn't really matter what the substance is. It's the trying to distract yourself from the discomfort of being in your skin.
Feelings.
So how long have you been sober?
14 years.
So that's a long time. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Was there something that you took to immediately after like your sobriety began? In other words, like some people, as soon as they go sober, they're like, I really got to get into this.
Woodworking. Within 6 months, I had a full-on cabinet shop in my... Now that paid dividends because I know how to make furniture.
That's awesome.
Do you fucking really?
Oh, yeah. I could show you pictures of it. I make mid-century modern.
Oh, my gosh. Furniture.
Yeah. And I still do that, but I'm not obsessive about it. But it was to the point where I would be at dinner with my wife, now my ex-wife, and she would be saying something to me, and I would be half listening, and the other half of me would be saying, oh, what kind of joint? Should I do a dovetail joint on that thing? Or what kind of wood should I use? And I know now, looking back, because I'm not as obsessive about things, that it was a way of me distracting myself from shit I'd buried as a kid. But everything.
Do you have a current day kind of obsession or mini obsession?
Not really. Not really, yeah, which is nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
And really, myself, I guess that's my current day obsession.
Which that's good.
Will be till the day I die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think what a lot of people at least hear about, or some of us know people that go sober, and some of them get really into fitness and exercise.
Or food.
Yeah. Which is the opposite. Yes.
The first probably 3 months of my sobriety, I was doing 9 shots of espresso a day.
Oh, my God.
We know one guy who does, he does double that a day over ice.
You?
No. Well, oh. I do a lot, but no, this dude does just straight up espresso on ice.
And when he pisses, goes, does just a bean come out?
And like he does the hardcore workouts, and he does lots of candy.
Yeah.
Candy's
a big one.
Is that right? Sugar.
Oh, sugar rushes.
Yeah. I'm just coming off a 1 year Ben and Jerry's Bender.
Flavor?
Americone Dream.
What's in that?
It's so perfect.
What's in that? Let's talk about it.
It's vanilla ice cream, but like really, really good vanilla ice cream.
They have the best, yeah.
And then fudge-covered chunks of waffle cone.
Fuck yeah.
And then caramel swirled in. And every once in a while, you'll hit a caramel deposit that it seems like the Ben & Jerry worker had nodded off at the caramel lever. You know, and it's just like, oh my God, I can't go to bed now. I got to see where this fucking thing ends.
It's a real danger for me is ice cream. Really dangerous. I got some over the holidays for you because we don't normally have it. And like,
what do you like?
I'm pretty much a purist, pretty simple with, I like vanilla ice cream with chocolate chip, but not mint chocolate chip, just regular chocolate chip.
Mint flavored anything, yucky.
But like one of those.
Where you can taste like vanilla bean, really good vanilla
bean. And then like the offset with like that crunchy chocolate
It's all piece. About the texture, man.
And then I also, I love that there's multiple versions of this, but all the different cookies and cream ones.
Oh, like, the best.
I can like, I can get a pint of that and in within minutes being like, oh, I can see the bottom of the pint right now. Yep. Like, cause I get zoned out. I'm just like, hum, hum. I'm like, feel sick to my stomach and not stop.
And then the ice cream farts.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
2 hours later. Those are a whole level of a sulfur that like the other. It's, they're hot. Wow. They come out almost
see,
hot.
I don't yeah. get those, but my stomach will start hurting and I'll get gas under my ribs. Yeah. And I found out I'm lactose intolerant.
And you know what's bullshit, that's fucking, by the way?
You don't get you don't
no,
get
just,
farty?
I get gas, but it goes under my ribs and it hurts.
That's the fucking worst.
I'll be in pain.
I feel like the bullshit, though, is because I tried for a while when I was buying it more, is like, so, like you know, soy ice cream.
Fuck
like,
soy. Like, fuck that garbage, shit, man. What's the point?
Yeah. All the knockoff, like this isn't real ice cream, is dog shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have
now,
real ice cream.
How do you feel about frozen yogurt, guys?
I mean, I'll fucking eat it, you know, but I always feel like I wish I had ice cream right now.
Yes.
You know?
See, I kind of like it because I like the shittiness of it. I like
you
shitty. You know what I like? McDonald's sundaes.
They're yeah. fucking great. Yeah. Their hot fudge sundaes are fucking great.
It tastes like
they're
nothing like ice cream.
McFlurries?
Yeah.
Oh.
Remember, we know a guy who is so such a pig that he would get two different McFlurries because he doesn't want to mix the tastes up.
So, and who hurt him? His mommy or his daddy?
He was hurt by his daddy, I think.
Yeah.
And he had a really weird relationship with his mommy.
Yeah. Finding out a lot of people did.
Yeah.
Shit.
And doing the podcast. Yeah.
Telling me.
Fucking depressed when I, we haven't spoken to him in a long time, but man, when he went down this kind of depression cycle, he went down the food.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my God, I remember
he
this.
He was drinking a fucking 2 liter. Like,
wow.
Sitting down.
With sugar?
A Pepsi Max, which is like their amped up Pepsi.
Pepsi
and
Max.
Then he was doing, he would get a 6-pack of Cinnabons.
What?
Yes.
How is he not a diabetic?
He became a diabetic.
Yeah.
Through it.
Well, he reached his goal.
He would eat. So of the six, he would eat 1, 2, 3, 4, and the inside of 5. And then so he would have 1.5 left.
To tell himself that he has control.
That, yeah, I didn't eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was fucking nuts, man.
Wow. And is he still in it?
No, he's out of it now. It
good
was a
for
while
him,
ago,
man.
But he was...
I've been in that vortex.
It was bad.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. It was bad.
Your brain is saying one thing, and your body is just going, fuck off. Fuck
yeah.
off.
To see someone in that and not know what's going on is, like, really alarming. Because yeah. I think all of us were like, what the fuck are you doing right
yeah.
now? You know?
That's bad. That's real deep, though.
What's the longest time you've ever spent looking for... a porn clip. Not a specific one, but you know that when you're looking at porn and you're not just like, all right, I'm just going to look at this and I'm going to jerk off and get the anxiety out or whatever, but you're like the hunt for the clip.
The is perfect the jam.
Thing you're getting high off just the anticipation of.
This is going to get real dark real quick.
Yeah.
For me. Not long.
Yeah.
Long time.
5-6 hours probably yeah, for me.
I've done that.
5 or 6 hours, you
yeah.
guys?
Oh, yeah. I've gone without eating. I lost weight one time. I went on such a porn binge. It was shortly yeah. after Dude, I got out of my marriage and I didn't want to feel.
This yeah. is so embarrassing, but I remember when I lived alone. It was like a year after I moved out here, and I would go down those like long rabbit hole porn searches. And I remember one time I got a phone call from one of my aunts, and I stayed on the phone with her as I looked through clips.
Of course you did.
But not masturbating.
Right, just like perusing.
Realizing that I was so in the zone,
mm-hmm.
like zoned out,
yeah.
that I was like, yeah, no, yeah, it would be good to see you. And then I would keep clicking through stuff and seeing, and they're like, no, no.
Did you have the decency to switch to incest porn, though?
No. I wanted to stay true to what I was into yes. at the time, but it was fucking...
And how half-assed are those answers when you're...
Oh, that's the thing is, what
like
took me
robot.
Out of it that was that I could tell her voice, like the way she was answering me was like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, what, you know what I mean? She was like, uh-huh. Like... okay, like she could tell that I
you
wasn't
can tell.
Paying attention.
Yeah, you can tell when somebody's yeah. not paying
attention.
That's
why
when
you're
I was
not
like,
paying attention.
I was like,
now no. I know all those times on the road when I call you and you're like, uh-huh, yeah.
No.
You're doing your porn searches.
No, that's usually sports.
What are your sports?
I'm just a big football fan.
Yeah, I like you used to
football.
Play, right?
No. I mean, I played high school football, but
oh, okay.
But I mean, I like college football, and I'll watch highlights, and I'll be like, oh, that's crazy. And but I don't know. I get sucked into that, but not. I don't get like zoned out by that, really.
I get zoned out by TV. I like my TV. Mom likes her shows. I go down rabbit holes of shows, like binging.
I think there's like two categories. There's the one that release the drugs in your brain.
Yeah.
And then there's the ones that are just kind of interesting to you. Like
that's what I try.
I like vintage hockey fights. I like those, but I don't like get high
right.
from them.
Right,
but,
right.
But like porn, I will just feel like dopamine. Then it's just like, yes, let's keep going.
Yeah.
Your reptilian brain.
We don't
you're
need
right.
food.
That's true.
Food's the best. I got to slow it down because I'm preggers right now.
Slow it down?
Well, no, because I've already gained too much weight for the pregnancy. Like, I got a talking to from the doctor already.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, because I was doing Domino's pizza for, like, the first trimester because you're nauseous, so you don't really want to eat. So when you do want to eat, it's going to be crap just because, like, your body wants carbs. The baby wants carbs. So I was like waffles, pizza, cheeseburgers at midnight. And then, it's already packed on. So yeah, I have I've got to rein it in.
He gave kind of a shameful speech. He was like, so.
We're not going to do that again, are we?
Do that, are we?
Yeah. I was like, oh, shit, yeah. I better go eat some vegetables.
And as her husband, what do you do on the sidelines? If you see her starting to go over the edge, because there's a fine line there. It's like you don't want to be controlling or insulting or feel like you're objectifying her.
I say nothing.
Nothing.
Whatever you want is fine.
Yeah.
I think most, I mean, unless I saw her something doing like destructively eating, I'm just like, whatever you want. It's totally cool with me. Yeah.
Well, I think I rein it in too when I have.
No, you're not out of control. That's what I'm saying. But like, yeah, I mean, when I don't know, anytime I've been around any pregnant woman who's like, I got to eat, I'm just like, all right.
Fuck yeah.
Of course, yeah.
That's the go flag. That's the green flag or whatever they
There's
do.
There's no real argument against that.
But I gained a lot of weight. My last
hilarious
pregnancy,
thing, yeah.
I gained way too much because I was eating Carl's Jr. twice a week.
The best was his... His sheet for like how you should eat.
Oh my
was
god!
Clearly how he eats because he was like a very like thin, you know, you could tell like type A, like in control guy.
Yeah,
and it was like have four almonds, have this thing,
literally four asparagus.
Quinoa. Yeah,
fuck
two medium sized.
I read
tomatoes.
It. I was like, this is his diet. This is what he eats. Yes. This dude eats this. Yeah. And he's just like, this is what you should eat.
And
obviously.
Then once a week, he sees a dominatrix to let go of all the control.
It totally. Seemed like it.
Yes.
Those are the guys that go to the dominatrix.
Yeah. And he goes at the bottom of the sheet. It's like, and once a week, you can splurge and have 2 ounces of ice cream.
Yes.
What is 2 ounces? The two licks.
I look at somebody like that, and they might as well be from another planet.
Yeah.
Like, I used to look at people that would only finish half a beer, and I would just think, what is that like?
Yeah. It's like,
how do you do that?
What is your native language, bro?
Yes, yeah. Here we go.
Oh, for God's sake.
I think my arm has been pulled out of the socket.
No.
Why did you pick on someone 1/4 your size?
So this guy would be the kind of guy that is from another planet, and I think here he actually shifts to another language.
Approximately, he says he's a Jedi Knight now. For those who didn't follow it, I'll do it in slow motion now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can't take him anymore.
I can't take it either.
But that dude really thinks he's teaching you to
Tom,
understand.
How much money for you to learn Chewbacca language? And I mean learn it fluently. Like, I know you're doing Rosetta Stone for Italian. You're doing Rosetta Stone for Wookiee.
It would seriously be a lot more than I got from Netflix to do a special. A lot more.
And you have to test every week. And you have to be fluent.
It's several million dollars.
Why Italian?
Why? Yeah. Well, I speak Spanish, and I had an interest in learning French. And what I discovered was Italian is so much easier for me
because it's close to Spanish.
Yeah, there's all the pronunciations are pretty similar.
Yeah.
And so far, like I'm flying through it.
That's
Whereas
awesome.
When I did the French one, I was like, "Fuck!" I just kept hitting walls, and like so I'm doing it. because I want to do something to stimulate that part of my brain, but I don't want a too big of a challenge. So, and with Italian, the only thing that sucks is I feel like there's more utility in French. There's definitely more places where you can use it.
Definitely more pussy.
Way more
pussy.
Well,
that's priority like, number one, Paul, duh.
Yeah, I mean, I have like, what are we going to do, another couple of years? So I know I'm going to have some fun
with a second
soon.
Kid? Doesn't matter.
But yeah, I'm doing the Italian just
at
because.
At the very least, the au pair.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have enough frequent flyer miles to go to Paris.
Yeah.
Just get a French au pair.
Do you work on, fuck with other languages? Do you ever like?
We taped, when I was doing dinner and a movie, we taped 10 days in Italy. And so I did like a crash course. Mm-hmm. And so I learned, you know, just una bottiglia di acqua minerale, per favore.
There you go.
You know,
wow.
Un po'.
Native
little
speaker?
Things like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like five sentences. But people so appreciate it when an American takes the time to learn their language, because most Americans just come in there with a sense of entitlement and are just dicks.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, okay, they recognize that we are a fucking country.
Mm. Yeah, just learn
we're
like
people.
Learn a couple basics. I think anywhere you go, it's like just learn how to say like, excuse me, thank you, mm-hmm. please. Mm. Even for like a basic trip, it's like it goes a long way.
Yeah.
Or like, I'll never forget being in Paris and having lunch in a nice restaurant with some other students. We were actually in Madrid, but we went over to Paris for like a couple of days. We're sitting in this restaurant, and the server comes up, and one of the girls who's American turns to him. She goes, "English, right?" And I was like, and then everybody at the table was like, head down. And the guy was like, yes, I do speak English. But he even saw from our looks how embarrassed we were. I was like, why don't you just say, like, can't you learn to say, you know, excuse me, do you speak English? Or like, I don't speak French, right. You know, but no, she had to go, English, right? he was like, yeah. Like, and also, like, I've dealt with your type a lot.
Yeah, so. Assholes. Oh,
yeah.
When I go to Hungary, I'm not very good at Hungarian unless I'm there for like a month. And then I'll kind of maybe pick up a little, whatever. But they're so rude over there that
the Hungarians.
Oh my God. That's why I barely try, because like, I remember last time I went there, like in 99 or something, or 2004 or whatever, I was like, trying to order, and he kept correcting my pronunciation and grammar, but like in a cocksucker way. He would try to.
Wow.
And I was like, bro, I'm trying. Like, you know what I'm fucking saying.
Right.
Liquor. Like, you know.
Sounds like you're so upset about it.
I'm so upset.
Yeah. Did you call him Dracula? It wasn't Dracula,
so
Hungarian?
Rude. Not Romanian, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but neighbor, same thing. Same shit, different toilet.
Yeah.
The cousins.
I got an email here. When men poop, do they hold their hairy dick and balls in their hand, or do they push their soggy dick down into the toilet in case some pee comes out? What if the dick is so long it touches the water? I learned this from my husband. He goes all in. Love you, Mommy, Tina. Thank you, Gene, for choosing my husband in the audience Friday to say his body is dog shit.
Oh!
So this must have been at your show.
I remember him. I remember them. Delightful couple. Very enthusiastic.
She's asking if we hold our dick and balls in our hands when we shit? No, we push it down, obviously.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I didn't know this.
You push it down.
Yeah. You push it down in between your legs?
So, like, here's the seat rim. You push it against there.
Push it against there.
If you pee, you pee down. Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that.
Otherwise,
where'd you think it would go?
You get pee on the toilet seat.
Yeah. You think it would hang out the outside of the toilet?
Maybe. Or just maybe just dangled wherever it wanted. I didn't think.
It either has to be in the bowl or outside the bowl.
But I didn't. But here's my thing. If you push it in the bowl, what if it rubs against the inner rim
it
and
does.
Touches poo and pee?
No, there's no poo up there in the front.
On our toilet, there is.
In the front?
Well, someone takes explosive dumps in that toilet.
Yeah, but it does.
You do
touch the porcelain. It's kind of gross when you're in public.
That's what I was going to say.
Restroom. Sometimes
you're
like, I'll lay a tissue down just for my own peace of mind, because you're touching the porcelain.
Yeah.
Right? But I mean, yeah, it's just how it is. It's gross.
But then your peener gets other people's pee and stuff on it.
Probably.
Mine doesn't hang low enough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I like that she was like, what if it touches the water? It's like, do you know what kind of hang you're talking about right now? That water, it's not like right there. It's,
I would gladly be able to have that problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, but I heard, you know, male comics are always joking about when they get older, their balls sag and they can touch the water. Does that happen?
I've looked.
Some guys.
Yeah. And you sit on enough toilets where there's also weird mechanisms for toilet. Sometimes you'll sit on a toilet, you hit flush, and it has like water comes up and then mm-hmm. goes down. So you'll jump because the water will raise up to your balls. But like for the most part, your balls are, unless you're a ball hog, in which case, you know, then you get your balls.
Yeah, sniff those balls. Sniff them. Okay, now let me put it right up against your eye.
Okay, oh my God.
When did porn get so aggressive?
Well,
I think about 15 years ago.
Because it didn't used to be that way. And I don't want to sound like an old person, but I remember porn when somebody wasn't getting punched.
I agree.
We've had the discussion that when we are introduced to it, we're basically too young, you're a kid, but we were watching pretty much 80s porn, mm-hmm. where the thrill was just that you're having sex with some, like that was,
yeah,
that
was you were seeing a vagina.
Yeah. And then in the scene, they were like, this is so great that I get to have sex with you. Like that was,
yeah,
that was the interaction. That
I'm so glad I misdelivered a pizza.
Yeah. And then, you know, it was big hair and it was just naked people doing it.
Yeah.
And then I think it's because, I don't know, there was maybe as the exposure of it grew, people became more desensitized.
I think
so. Then it heightened.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. But then again, what are the most popular searches for porn? It's MILF porn is one of the top category. It's not the the ball licking, the fist, double fist, anal fucking.
It's not the most popular, for sure.
No, everyone is kind of in the middle of what their tastes are. I think it's just marketing and like, whoa, I'm going to, it's like clickbait, right?
Yeah.
Five dicks and one butthole, wow.
I got to see how that works out. That's going to break bad.
How is this going to
finish? Or break open.
Right. I don't know.
I'm trying to pull up the... it says that there's the most popular...
Yeah, what are the big searches right now?
Most popular porn searches.
Gay. I heard some podcasts where straight guys are searching for gay stuff, meaning there's a lot more gay men out there than are copping to, basically. They're saying they're gay.
Yeah, I'm sure.
MILF is big.
It looks like hentai. That's the Japanese. Yeah.
Crap.
Cuckolding. Mm. Was big. Lesbian. Wow, that whole crazy term. Gay. Big. These are the biggest searches of 2017, according to Pornhub.
It's amazing how quickly things change.
So that sounds pretty basic, though.
Big dick.
Big dick. That lesbians.
Yeah, it's like...
Same shit, different toilet, man.
Yeah. And the most viewed categories for women, like in the U.S., the biggest term for search term for women was lesbian. As same as South America. In Africa, you'll never believe it, the biggest search term was ebony. Russia, it's anal.
Wow.
Yeah. And it looks like, those are kind of it.
Yeah.
And then mature and teen. Teen is a popular term as well.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that's a big one.
Yeah. But they seem, you're right, it's not like airtight, six dicks in her. Yeah, it's not like that.
That's the curiosity click, I think. I mean... What about transsexual? I thought that was very popular.
I'm sure it wasn't the top 10 list, but I'm sure it's a very popular term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. Chicks with dicks.
Yep. What is, let's see here. Why do infinity wipers happen?
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about.
How can I combat them? 90% of the time, I'm a solid 1-2 wiper. Occasionally, I get stuck wiping for at least 10 minutes.
Infinity wipes.
Nuts. Really destroys a good roll of toilet paper. Any help is appreciated. Keep it non-binary. Zach.
Yeah, I if I may, because I'm kind of the queen of infinity wipes.
Uh-huh.
This is why I invented shit to shower.
Yeah.
For me, the only way to stop the wiping is to take a shower. And I don't know why that is, but the minute you take soap and water to your hiney, you're going to stop the wipes.
Oh, wow.
Try it out.
Do you have that ever? Infinity wipes?
I christened the house I live in now. It was empty. I had just taken ownership of it. And I had to take a shit. So I go in there. I take my first shit in the house. And it's one of those shits where you're like, there's not enough toilet paper in the world. So I get in the shower.
Yeah.
And there's not even a shower curtain. And there's like no soap.
It's like day one.
Yeah. It was. And I just remember thinking, really, this is my first memory? This is how I christen. This is the worst bottle of champagne to crack against a ship ever.
That first shit in the house, you actually remember. You really do.
I think shaving your asshole and wiping from front to back has been the biggest key for me.
Minimizes the multiple wipes.
My dad has multiple theories on it. It's wipe direction, like Paul said. Diet. And sometimes he goes, you got to let things settle. So because I've asked him, he goes, what you need to do, buddy, is you stand up. Kind of things will realign inside of you. Because sometimes it's just the way that you're sitting and the way your insides kind of goes, stand up, kind of let things go back together, and then sit back down. I've tried it. It actually has worked before.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like he says it like really like a researcher would say. You know, but he insists on it. And I've thought about it. I think it does make sense. So next time you have an infinity wiper, just try standing up for a second. You know, kind of have everything
recalibrate, if you will. Yeah.
But it's too late at that point.
It is too late. I mean,
that's like after you get in a car accident, drive better.
Yeah, I know.
Because here's the thing, there's already brown all over you. You're already it's already messy.
The brown's not all over you. You just have a hole that it's like leaking, basically. So.
Diet, I think, is the biggest thing.
Diet is Diet's everything. A big deal.
That one of life's really most sublime pleasures is the shit where you wipe and you go, I didn't even need toilet paper.
Yes!
It's so true.
It's the best.
The ghost shit. Yeah.
The best.
That is the best.
Yeah. It's like you won something.
And you double check that there's something in the bowl. You're like,
yeah, did I miss? Is there a piece stuck to my leg? Because this is too good to be true.
Phantom shit coming out?
Yeah.
We've been talking about my dad. Says things incorrect, like mispronounces so many words. So we've been getting a lot of emails about it. Along the lines of our parents saying things wrong, when I was a child, we had a cat. For the longest time, I thought that his name was Charlie. It wasn't until I was laying in bed one night when I was 23 that I realized the cat's name was Charlie and that his name was being said with an extremely thick Boston accent.
Loved, Charlie.
Disgraceful. Watching it, I licked some scrum. You run like a lady. Mike from Albany. I don't know what that part means.
Like some scrum. Do you say that on the special?
No. But he says you run like a lady.
I don't know what that is.
But yeah, well, my dad, that's an accent that you're hearing.
Right.
Yeah.
My dad.
It's more the foggy brain, old guy.
But he's been doing it for like we were talking about when he was here for the holidays, I don't know, Casino was on, and my dad's like, that's Joe Pesci, right?
Joe Pesci.
And we're like, yeah, but haven't you heard his name like 10,000 times? Right. Like, why would you call him Pesci? And he says like all types of words, like a few degrees.
Yes, my dad used to do that too. Who would like a Heineken's?
Yeah,
pluralizing.
That's pluralizing. That's the go-to. At one time, my dad said, "I was listening to Simon and Garfunkel."
No,
and I went, "No, Dad, it's Garfunkel." He goes. Oh, yeah, Garfinkel, that's the cat.
Garfield.
Yeah. Now, is he a native English speaker?
Yeah.
You know what? We were discussing all our theories on it, like could it be brain damage? I think it's, for like my dad, it is actually a lack of paying attention. In other words, it's kind of like being half into the conversation. We were watching, he goes, you know, you don't hear a lot about in the news these days is that Jared Kushner. And I go, Jared? He's like, and he goes, yeah. So in other words, it's like, you know what I'm saying. Right. I'm like, but dude, you've heard his name and you've read it in newspapers like a million times.
So your dad's half listening?
I think because
he's looking
listener.
At porn clips.
He might be listening. Yeah, he might be looking at porn. He might be watching Ball Hogs instead of actually talking to me. But everything he says is kind of like, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
So I'm like, I think you're just kind of half checked out of everything.
Yeah.
So then you're half saying things wrong.
You know what? I think that starts to happen, and I don't want to scare you guys, but
children,
yeah.
Sure.
Sleep deprivation.
Oh,
I know
absolutely.
My best friend, once he had four kids, like there was a part of his brain that never came back.
Absolutely. Especially as the mom. Yeah, there's a thing called mom brain, and it starts, for me, it started in the third trimester of my last pregnancy and for the first year. You remember that? I would just forget because you're so sleep deprived and your brain is mush.
Part of it is aging, but I think that having the kid exacerbates this is your separation from pop culture.
Oh,
stuff.
Forget it.
So you're so into this, you know, taking care of this being and all your home life that things kind of pass you by. That, yeah. It happens more when you have a kid, I think, where you're like, somebody will bring up, you're like, who's that? And they're like, who's the number one artist in the country right now? And you're like, I don't know who that is. And
no,
it just kind of passes you by.
Last night I was saying to Tommy, I'm like, I'm 41 years old. I think I'm finally the official age where I don't know shit about pop culture. Like, I know about Cardi B, and I'm, like, fascinated by her. And that's it. Right. It's a singer. She's a singer.
Honestly, I've never heard of her.
She's a rapper.
She's a rapper, and she's got, like...
got a big, couple big hits.
Huge. Yeah, okay. She's very successful right now, and that's all I know. Maybe The Voice. I know Blake Shelton was on there. But I'm officially that turning point where you're lame.
Well, we made it wasn't on purpose, but such a shift, I feel like... within the last 4 years or so, where things on television, if it's on TV...
doesn't mean anything.
Oh, I don't even know it.
First of all, like, my wind down of, like, I want to watch something involves Netflix, iTunes, like, what's, you know, renting things or watching a movie, maybe Amazon Prime. And, like, if there's a show like that on NBC, Fox, I'm like, there's 0% chance, unless, like, a friend's on it, and they're like, I'm on this show.
Right. Even then.
Yeah, it's like, well, I don't watch it, but that's good for you. Like, I know the name of the show. Right. But, I mean, yeah, so, like, those things just go past me now.
Sports, that's the only thing I watch broadcast TV for.
Yeah, exactly. What's your sport? What do you like?
Hockey.
Hockey.
Yeah.
But you're a Northeastern guy?
Chicago.
Chicago guy. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. It's a great sports town.
It is.
Are you also a Bears fan and a Bulls fan?
I was until, after they won in 85, 86, and they just took the team apart for money.
Yeah.
I was like, why am I frustrating the fuck out of myself getting behind a team with more care about winning than the fucking owners?
Yeah.
They're the only professional sports team where it is the sole business of the owners. So I understand that they treat it more of a business than as a hobby, like Jerry Jones, where it's all about his ego and winning.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Bears could use some more of that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like your fandom, if you have, like, ownership issues, like, I was born in Cincinnati, and we left when I was a kid, but we left the year they went to the Super Bowl in 88.
With Boomer?
Yeah. And, like,
Icky.
I was...
Icky Shuffle?
Yeah, and I was such a diehard.
That t-shirt.
Yeah, I was such a diehard fan. But then what I discovered is, like, after time, kind of living with the reality that they're, like, probably one of the worst ownership groups or teams in the NFL, yeah. it makes your fandom, like, die.
It's hard, man. It really tests
it. Like, they're horrible.
They're a perennial dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you realize, too, that you're like, it's a real thing that a team can suck for decades.
Decades. The Saints in the 70s were... I don't think they ever had a season where they won more than 5 games. They never made the playoffs.
No, I know. They were dog shit.
Awful. Awful. What's his name? Archie Manning was a fucking great quarterback.
Yeah. There's bad. And then the flip side, you see like let's say like the Steelers ownership. You're like, that's like a family that they love the team, the city, they want to win, they do things the right way, and it's like, and they have 6 fucking rings, you know?
Do you think it's they know when to give up control and not micromanage?
I think so. I mean, it sounds kind of cliche sports speak, but it's like, they develop a system and like, it's like a culture, like in a company. Here's the way we do things here. And when you get people to really buy into like, this is how we work here. And you have integrity and you have good values for like how they probably treat employees all the way on down. I think that becomes something that people really buy into. I mean, for all the shit people talk about the Patriots and all that, it's like, you know, I think they have a real culture going in that organization.
Absolutely. The Blackhawks are probably one of the greatest examples of that. The Bill Wirtz was the owner for years, and he was despised by the fans because he pinched pennies. He was a dick. He treated Bobby Hall and all those other – Stan Mikita treated those guys like shit. Money was the only thing that mattered to him. And when he died, his son, Rocky Wirtz, took over and – attendance was in a 30,000 or whatever seat stadium. There was maybe 12,000 people. Rocky Wirtz took over. He started bringing back the Hall of Famers, honoring them. He got good GMs. They started drafting wisely. They got Kane. They got Taze. And it is one of the most profitable sports franchises ever.
They changed their philosophy, though.
Changed their philosophy. And when they won... A Stanley Cup, all the employees got rings.
That's cool.
That's nice.
Yeah, one of the things that people, I mean, people say, like, will say they know it, but they don't act on it, is if you're a fan of anything, doesn't, I mean, it could be sports, it could be, if you go, I'm not going to support that thing anymore, that's really the only way you'll see change. In other words,
right,
like in Cincinnati, they'll still sell that fucking stadium out. No matter what they're doing, people will still buy tickets to the game. And so that lets the owners go like, well, you don't have to fucking do anything.
We're
like,
making money.
Yeah.
Let's like, roll the dice.
And we'll you want to hurt them, like stop going to the games.
Yeah.
Stop buying tickets to games. And you'll see something will change.
Go in the parking lot and set off car bombs.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
That's I encourage
Take
it.
Hostages.
This is a question. We get questions about all types of things. But here's a question about little people. I was in the bathroom cutting my solid brown in half with my powerful urine stream. I had a thought. You know how when adults refer to their childhood, they start off by saying, when I was little.
Yeah.
Do adult little people refer to their childhood by saying this also? Do they say when I was a little smaller? I can't get this off my mind. I need some answers here. That is kind of an interesting language question, because you do say when I was little. And if you're a little person, you might be like, when I was really little. I don't know. I mean, it's kind
they
of
probably
silly.
Say when I was young or when I was younger.
Younger.
I wonder if younger. They ever, I mean, if the language, yeah, because all day they're like, refer to themselves as little. So
that's so true. Maybe when I was tiny.
Yeah. When I was half
smaller.
The size of half of you. My girlfriend can't tell the difference between left and right. She has to hold her hands in front of her and make an L with each hand. The correct orientation of the left letter means left. This is my life. I have accepted her handicap and will support her through life, but we want to have a child. Will she pass on her retardation, or is there still hope for our little genes? We have a dog, and he is real dumb. Not sure yet if that's her fault. Love, Brad. I love this
That's
email.
One of the funniest emails I've ever read.
So she literally, he goes, make a left, and she has to goes, which way is the
this
L?
Way. Yeah. And the dog is dumb, and he's not sure if that's her fault.
I tell you this much, she's got to be hot.
Yeah, she's a smoke show for sure. Hey, Brad, send photos next week, because we're pretty sure she's lightning, man.
Huh.
Oh, my God. What do you think?
It could be a, you know, brain thing. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it probably is.
Some form of dyslexia or some kind of directional.
Some people have terrible. I mean, I've never heard left, right.
No.
But I know north, south, a lot of people are fucked up by that.
I don't know that all the time. I have to do the never eat soggy Wheaties.
You know what I find is that when you live in a certain neighborhood, especially in Los Angeles, you get your orientation. But when you leave that neighborhood and you go to another just neighborhood in LA, for me, I lose the sense of all direction. I don't know why, but it's like I'm standing in Hollywood. I'll know north, south, east, west. But if I go to Burbank, I'll start be like, yeah, it's south of this. And they're like, that's north. I'm like, no, that's not north. And then it just throws me off. I don't know why. I leave neighborhoods and I can't orientate myself.
The only way that I've always had kind of an obsessive need to know what direction I'm facing. And it's one of the reasons I don't like flying into cities, is because then I don't have a bearing to start with. Like right now, I know I'm facing northeast, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this in
Wait, you know you're facing northeast right now?
I didn't know that. I wouldn't
know
that.
Yeah, hold on. That. Yeah, you are. You are facing northeast.
It's just this weird, I think it was a fear of being lost, maybe, when I was a little person.
I mean, did you know that, just like, you just know...
How'd you do the math? Tell us how you calculated
that. No, it's just a sense of I don't know how to explain it. I don't have to think about it, because I'm always thinking of things as a grid, kind of.
Whoa.
But when I get into curvy shit, then I lose. Like when you get into subdivisions where it's all curves.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Super orgasms, do you know what that is? Our producer just threw this into our folder. I have no idea what this is. I don't know.
The most that I've had, I think, probably be upwards of 60 throughout an evening. It's great, especially the ones that keep on going forever. And then there comes a time after a long time that I just say, now we have got to stop, because, I mean, you can't go on for hours.
I feel like Europeans have so much more fun than us. I feel like that no one American will be in this video clip.
Thank you.
I had a super orgasm. It's actually last year. I was really confused. And to me, it felt like a contraction, but nice.
Hmm.
Do you want to go to this seminar? It looks like they're in like a little group circle.
I'm not a fond of group
orgasm?
Therapies or, yeah, no.
It's a super orgasm, though.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't. I think one is fine. Like I'm not chasing the dragon here. You know what I mean?
60 in an evening, like
yeah,
that lady?
I think one is sufficient.
I would bet the next day they're depressed because you're
too high,
depleting
right?
all of that. That's like when you take ecstasy, you're depressed the next day because all that you're withdrawing all that dopamine or whatever. The
drugs
are.
I'm not an extreme type of person. Yeah. I think I'm happy with what like anatomy. Provides.
52-year-old mother of two, Beverly, is super orgasmic and believes practicing tantric sex is what leads to super orgasm.
There you go.
I'm a priestess of love and sacred sexuality.
Do you think?
It's very natural for me if I'm making love with a partner to have many, many orgasms where my whole body is flowing with sexual energy.
Do you think she's as full of shit as the guys?
The cum hugs?
Cum hugs and the...
Yeah.
That is like a bouquet of cliches.
Yeah.
Such
bullshit.
There are... The word sacred, the Indian
the music, sitar, whatever,
awkward dancing,
horrible, it's all horrible.
Word Mother Earth is just around the corner.
Yeah,
do you know
smells of patchouli in there?
I don't think what cum hugging is.
No,
what so is cum hugging. There's a. I'm trying to pull this up for you. There's a There's these two people who say that you can come just by hugging and going to their seminar. It feels like some bullshit, though, right?
It really does.
Yeah.
It really does. Have you ever spooged so hard that you hit your own face?
Yeah.
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 I hung one on my glasses one time in college. I had to laugh. I was like, it made me laugh. Just made me laugh.
Just, yeah, drench yourself.
I can't even imagine that, you guys.
Yeah.
The cleanup? The cleanup's got to be terrible for men.
It's pretty bad. Yeah.
And especially because that adolescent phase where it's like nonstop. And it's just got to be disgusting for your mother who's cleaning up your clothes and your...
I was always, yeah.
What's the most inappropriate or gross thing you've ever cleaned your jizz with?
Oh, man. That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm good at these questions, Paul.
That's a really good question. I mean, it was definitely, in those terms, I think of like, this is an emergency.
Yes.
So it's probably something that's not mine, you know? Yes. So like, it's probably like somebody, like a parent's clothing or something.
Oh,
like
you nasty as hell.
Yeah, yeah. Like you go like... You think you're alone, and then like you hear the door open. You're like, "Oh fuck!" And I don't know where I'm at. And then I just clean up. I think I can't think of like a specific though. What about you?
Hands down, it was sex with a girl in a car. She was a single mom, and she presented it to me to clean myself off with a baby sock. I go, really? She goes, "That's the only thing."
I have.
Not even a lot of surface area.
Yeah,
there.
And I was like, this is going to be lasered into my brain for the rest of my life. Yeah.
These are the cum huggers, by the way, I was trying to show you.
Hi, I'm Melanie.
And I'm Scotty O.
With Ecstatic Hearts Tantra. And we just want to share that there are many ways to orgasm. You don't actually have to be having sex. You can orgasm just from hugging.
So... That's their nonsense. It's
amazing how many people in the world exist that make us uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Try it out.
Yeah. They're so uncomfortable because I've seen that clip now like 40 times and I'm still like, oof, man.
Well, cause I struggle in my head. I'm like, I'm uncomfortable, but is it because I'm like a prude? Am I being closed-minded here? Am I?
I think we both kind of like when people are like that. I get uncomfortable with their. It's almost like their level of sharing. Like I can make. I come. I'm like just fucking. Don't need to know about it. You know. I'm not prude, but I'm just like I don't.
Yeah, I don't need to know.
I don't want to know. I don't need to know how much you can come.
Yeah, I'm all for freedom and no shame, but it's it's less the concept of it than it is the presentation of it. The presentation of it is always kind of precious and new agey, and just, I don't know, there's almost kind of a smug theater crowd.
Yeah.
You know, like how theater crowds laugh at something that's not funny.
At all.
We know. We understand that the butler would never do that.
Right.
It's kind of got a little of that
Hamilton
vibe.
It does.
Like, I would never see Hamilton. I think I'm the lamest in terms of that.
You wouldn't see it? I heard it's so good.
I know. I just hate theater. I don't know. I feel like it's too corny for me.
I don't like opera. I don't like opera. I hate musicals.
I hate musicals. Hate.
Yes.
Even like, what was that movie that was such Les Miserables movie?
I can't even sit through it. Get your life.
I turned off La La Land when they started singing in the first scene.
Oh, I fast forwarded through the songs. I just liked Ryan Gosling and what's her shit.
You fast forwarded.
Yeah, I don't want to fucking hear it.
I started on a plane. I was like, oh, this movie's like winning everything. And then it's like that first scene, the camera settles, and then she's like, where am I? And I was like, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to watch this. Don't want
to
see it.
But I've been doing that since I was a kid, like with Disney movies and shit. I used to listen to records and I would skip over the songs. I like the story.
Some 69 at 70 submissions to wrap things up. So we've been doing this thing where when I, just to give you context for it, my dad turned 70 back in August. We had a big family get together. And my mom, who's Peruvian, doesn't get a lot of references. One of the dinners on the first night of the get together, I said, hey, Dad's turning 70 tomorrow. Do you think you guys are going to 69 tonight to celebrate it like a child? And she was like, what? And everybody laughed. And then we kept teasing her about it all weekend.
Yeah.
So we told our listeners about it, and we asked them to ask their parents if they're going to 69 at 70 and get it on camera. And they've been sending in videos. Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And you get a wide range of reactions. Sometimes the parent is playful. Sometimes they're stunned. Sometimes they get really upset, which is my favorite. So I don't know what these are new ones that came in. But
oh my God, do I love that.
It's always the moms that are upset.
Yeah, the moms are
generally.
Like, why would you ask me something like that, Sharon? Like really, really upset? I mean, those are good. I also like when they're like, you guys are, this is so juvenile. Yeah, I like those.
Nine times out of 10, the dad's on board.
Though. Yeah, dad's always like, sounds good to me, buddy. Yeah. Yes.
And mom's like, uptight.
I know dad's 62. Oh,
wait, hold on. Let's put bets on it. Well, what do you think 70. Her reaction
is? Hold on. The last night that he's 69. Oh. Are you guys going to 69 one last time?
Oh my God. Why would you do that?
Have you ever 69?
And you're videotaping.
Are you going to 69 one last time, like the last time he's 69?
Well.
Stop it. Oh my God, stop.
She's hammered. It's hilarious.
First question is, have you ever 69?
Oh my God, wait, joking right now. Why are you encouraging this?
I love it.
That was great. That's from Mr. S. Sorry, I couldn't find the pause button.
Oh, because I was going to say, we should take a look at the moms next time and then bet on how you think she's going to react.
I thought she was going to react angrily.
Yes, I did too.
I was going to go angry.
That glare was like, the fuck are you asking me? Yeah. But then she did kind of smile.
Yeah. She's had a few in her, though. You're right.
Yeah.
The alcohol helps. Okay, hold on.
Well, since.
No humor. I'm going to go no humor on this lady.
Yeah, I could go with you on that. I think it might not work out.
Yeah, I think that he spends most of the marriage sitting there with that look on his face. Yeah.
Yes.
And her reaction with that look on her face.
Yes.
And so that reaction is going to be probably remind her that he doesn't fuck her anymore.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
This is this is from Crystal, so here we go.
Michelle's going to be 50. Yeah. That's a milestone.
Yeah. I love the setups. So Michelle's 50.
Turned 70 couple years ago.
Yeah.
So because you turned the night before, you turned 70, you would have been 69.
Yeah.
So when Grandpa turned 70, did you guys 69 before he turned 70 as a send off?
Oh,
you're bad.
I love it.
She loved it.
She loved it. Yeah.
Did you tell her?
What did he say?
He goes, did you tell her? Did you tell her?
Now that was a surprise.
Completely surprised.
Yeah.
That's the best when you can't, when you don't nail it, because you're like, oh, this one's not going to like it.
No.
And then sometimes you're like, she seems fun. And then the hell did you just ask me right now?
Well, those two were both fun. He was fun and she was fun.
Yeah.
So that was a win.
Well, Ralph, I was wondering, though, when you turned 69, before you turned 70, the night before you turned 70, are you and Kim going to 69?
Such that any significant event we just do it. Actually, we do it every
month. We're going to
work.
We
brush our teeth.
Oh, really? You brush each other's teeth with your assholes?
They're fun. That's cool.
That's cute. Yeah.
We've got a couple more here.
So, do you think?
Oh, I'm going to say no. Square.
I love they're doing
square.
It in front of the
kid. Here's James.
He's 70. When he was 69,
stop.
Like on the last day of his 69th birthday, do you think you guys would have 69'd?
Ew,
that's
gross.
No,
probably
at least twice.
Yeah.
Fun.
Weirdest people.
God. It's his girlfriend that's like, you're disgusting. Like, you're the weirdest. You hear her?
Yes.
God.
Totally judging.
But this lady was actually fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably at least twice.
Twice?
Yeah.
You guys are the weirdest people. God.
My ex's mom used to love when we would swear because she was raised really Catholic and really...
So your ex-mother-in-law.
Ex-mother-in-law. Okay. And when my ex moved into my house, this is, you know, our apartment, I don't know, 25 years ago, a friend was helping us move along with the mom. And so my friend, my mother-in-law, and I are carrying this futon down the stairs. And my friend doesn't know that she likes swearing. And so as the three of us are carrying this down the stairs, I turn to my mother-in-law and I go, I can't wait to blow some loads on this baby. And my friend, and she starts laughing. And when she would laugh, she would go, and my friend just looked at me like, what the fuck did you just say?
To your mother-in-law?
To your mother-in-law.
Hilarious. Yes.
Hilarious.
This is the last one.
So, on Dad's 70th birthday.
She's going to be good.
Yeah.
The last night of him being 69. Hold on. The last night of him being 69. Are you guys going to 69?
Why would you ask them this question? I don't want to know.
I gotta get to the bathroom.
Don't, it's gonna be 6 feet under. It's gonna be a little difficult. Oh my God.
They're fun.
I loved
they're
it. Cute. All of the moms were cool.
Yeah.
It's funny cool. that the daughters or the daughter-in-laws or whoever the sisters were the ones that had the problem with
that
it.
That was Matt G. Thank you for sending that in. Yeah, it's like that. Everybody's been a good time so far, right?
So funny.
I was trying to find the one. There was one. Was this it? No.
Oof, his jeans are tight.
I know. I wanted to find the really disapproving mom.
Oh, I love those.
I don't remember which episode it was in, though, but there was one lady who got so, like, controlled anger. She's like, what are you doing right now? Why would you disrespect me with a question like that? It's so fucking fantastic. Oh, man.
Why would you ask me that?
Yeah.
That's the biggest. Like that? Why would you say that?
It's really terrible you would talk to me like that. Okay. What else? So the mental illness
happy hour.
Happy hour. You've been doing that for a while.
Yeah, such a good
years.
Show.
6 years is a long run. So there's hundreds of episodes.
I don't know when it's going to get canceled. But
Can I tell you that your show is such a huge public service to people, to humanity? And I advise everybody listening to this show to check out Paul's show if you don't already know about it, because you explore every facet of human existence, and like, there's no other person doing it. There's nowhere else where people are being interviewed about being bipolar or being a Hasidic Jew and being molested as a child or whatever the scenario. And what I really love on your website, which is mentalpod.com, he has these surveys up that people take anonymously. And so you can see what people really have had happen to them in their lives, you know, things that you wouldn't want to admit in public. And
interesting.
And you can read what
things that turn them on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just, it's amazing. It's such a great show.
Thank I want to check that out.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
The pod. Go listen
to
it.
It's one of my faves. It's on my rotation, right, Tommy?
It certainly is.
Try it out.
Try listen it out. To it.
All right. Thank you for coming over today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Any so other funny. Plugs besides the podcast?
No, I think that's out? It.
Okay.
Aw, thanks for coming.
Yeah, it was super fun, man.
Super fun.
You have to come back.
Appreciate
please
that.
Please come
love
back.
To.
All right. We'll see you next week. Thanks again for listening, and have a good one, guys.
Ice come home drunk. 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 Ice come home drunk.
I already don't like it. Ice come
home drunk. We were farting together.
Yeah. Disgraceful.
Yeah.
Netflix.
Yeah.
You must let your vagina breathe at night. Don't bear underwear.